want to come preach. It was so good to have him again. Our son, Darren Waller from Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine. He got saved under Dr. Percy Ray's preaching, and the director of that camp, Brother Earl Farley, called me right before service today. We were not able to go to Camp Zion this summer, but he said it was a great camp, and he wanted to tell everyone at church hello and thank you for all the prayers you do for Camp Zion. I've told this at Camp Zion every time I preach and every time I get to see anyone. If I ever amount to anything, it'll mostly be what God done for me at Camp Zion. And I praise him for it. Thank God for salvation. Darren, so good to have you again with us, preacher.
Amen, Will. It's a joy to be back at Fletcher tonight. And I'll just underscore what he said about Camp Zion. There's nothing like that place. And I had gone into the pastorate, and I was praying in our altar there at the church, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Camp Zion. Laid on my heart heavy, and I hadn't been in a long time, and so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to clear my schedule, get me a room down there, we're going to go. And we went down to that place, and we took up a collection at our church so I could take some money down there to try to be a blessing to them, and thought I was just there to see it. Then all of a sudden, Brother Earl J. got up in the pulpit, and he said, our next speaker will be Brother Darren Waldrop from Spruce Pine, North Carolina. I was shocked. And with the opportunity to preach, unprepared, unworthy, undeserving, and I'm still that same feller tonight, unworthy and undeserving to preach the Word of God. We had Brother Earl over to the church. I think he'd come here on a Sunday morning, and he was going to come back on Sunday night. And I begged your pastor to borrow him to come to our church. And Dad said, okay, if you can take him, you take him on Sunday morning, but we're getting him on Sunday night. He said, because he'll have more time to preach on Sunday night. And I said, that'll be just fine. We'd been praying at our church 24 hours, probably 36 hours around the clock. And when we started the service in the prayer room at 9:30, somehow we spilled out of the prayer room into the sanctuary before Sunday school. We never made Sunday school. People were getting saved. I had taken a lap because another person had gotten saved. And Brother Earl had come in this side door, and I almost ran right over him when he walked in the door. He was shocked. He wheeled around, went back around the other way, and he sat down. He didn't think he was going to get to preach. Somewhere around 1 o'clock, he finally got to preach. It was unbelievable. What a great service that it was. And Brother Earl Farley, I'll never forget, he preached on being translated, and he took a jug of water, and he picked it up, and he moved it like this, and he said, translated. It's in a better place. Didn't like it where it was to start with, so I put it over there. And one of these days, he said, that's what God's going to do to you. And man, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. So that being said tonight, I have verses of scripture on my heart in the book of Matthew chapter number 11 tonight. The book of Matthew chapter number 11. Appreciate Camp Zion, what it's meant to me. Remember going down there and my daddy would go up I'd go up with him with the preachers. He'd get all the preachers to come up. And so I'd go with my daddy. I wasn't a preacher, but I went with my daddy. And I'd lay down underneath them prayer altars. And Brother Percy would pray over all the preachers that was getting ready to go home as they leave the camp. And I'm telling you, the prayers in that place of that man of God over our lives, it changed the church that I've been affiliated with. I'm telling you, it has changed us and made us stronger and grew us closer to God. Even those that didn't go could tell the difference in those that went. And every time, God does something miraculous. All day long today, even as I came home last night, phone calls coming in, people with burdens, people with worries, people with issues, people in despair. It just seems to be the state of our land. And the Lord's laid these thoughts on my heart in Matthew chapter 11. This is what I was going to preach last night. Had it completely outlined and ready to go. And the Holy Ghost, you was here, said, you're not preaching that message. Went home, completely Preacher, I tore it all to pieces and threw it in the garbage and started all over again. You may say, Preacher Darren, it's still on your computer. I scrapped the whole thing, as God is my witness, and said, Lord, I must have missed it. Show me what you... And the whole thing's brand new. Matthew chapter 11, I'll ask you to stand to your feet, verse number 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our faithful, unfailing friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, has sent me here tonight to tell you that he loves you and that he cares for you. Though all the world assails against you, Jesus still cares for you. And I don't know today who the last person you ran into that says Jesus loves you, but I dare say you've not ran into many people today that would say Jesus loves you. So you've come in the house of God tonight and you say, well, I know that preacher. He wanted me to tell you, Jesus loves you. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God. And I thank you for being our faithful, unfailing friend. I thank you for the truths of this passage. And God, I pray tonight, Father, you would open the text. God, would you show us things that we've never thought about before? God, would you be pleased to speak to our hearts? Lord, there are folk here tonight that they've come to hear from heaven. And God, I pray, it would be just as if you were standing in the pulpit to share truth with them. God, would you do that tonight? For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and ask. Amen and amen. I thank you for standing. You may be seated. No doubt life is filled with burdens and weariness. You don't have to go to heaven to find rest for your soul. You ought to be able to find rest for your soul here. I mean, who, after all, needs a tombstone to find out we're going to rest in peace? I want to rest in peace before I ever have a tombstone set over my head. Say amen right there. Jesus, the great physician at Mercy Hospital, and Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, Jesus, the Savior, who loves the lost, sent his disciples out into Galilee two by two. He sent them out to preach the gospel and to heal all that were sick. And friends, I'm going to tell you, not many received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and many were healed. Yet, there were even more that rejected the gospel, didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. If you look around the state of America today, we have been blessed with liberty and with freedom and salvation, and God's been so good to us, and yet we have become so indifferent, so apathetic, that even when a preacher says Jesus loves me, we say, oh, tell me something else. Amen. The Bible says in verses 20 through 24 that Jesus began to upbraid those cities because they believed not the gospel. They'd seen miracle and witnessed and heard message after message, but they turned him down flatly. And verse 25 says, and at that time, Jesus answered. Who's he answering? He's answering their unbelief. He's answering their indifference. He's answering their apathy. Jesus is speaking in regards to the works that have been done in Galilee in consideration of his rejection and the unbelief in the cities in which he has ministered. And he says, Father, I thank you, O Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. Now, God has a rest for our soul. God has a peace that passes all understanding. And tonight we need to know something. God reveals this to the childlike. I didn't say the childish, the childlike. Those that are humble. Those that would just believe him and take him at his word. The only way you and I will ever know God is by revelation. God has hidden these things from human reasoning and human intellect and the wisdom and the prudence of this world. God has hidden it from the scholarly and the religious of our day. It was hidden by their darkness of their proud religious hearts, and they would not look any further. And it is to babes like me that God has lifted the veil and began to show us some things and some truths to those that are helpless, to those that are ignorant, to those of us that are humble, that are allowed to grasp the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in verse 27 that those with fellowship with the Father can only do so through the Son. I want to give you some scripture. In John chapter 5, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. John 6:65, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And to this crowd in Galilee that has rejected him, to this crowd in Galilee that's still carrying their burdens and going about their daily lives in need of salvation, in need of help, Jesus says in verse 28, come unto me. I see then, number one, there is the Lord's invitation. Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:4, he will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look at the Savior as he makes a plea. Come unto me. It is Jesus that is bidding. It is Jesus that is urging. It is Jesus that is pleading. It is Jesus that is sending you a personal invitation to leave where you are and to come unto him. Jesus is not standoffish. He is not distant. He is not remote. He is not unapproachable. Our Savior is welcoming. He is accessible. Tonight he is available. Jesus cares and is concerned for you. Tonight it is as if he is here with me in this pulpit, and he is looking for you to leave the dilemma, to leave the confusion, to leave the chaos where you are and come unto him. He does not say, get away, you who are guilty of sin. Get away, you who are running around with the foolishness of the world. He is thinking of you. When your family doesn't want you, when your friends ostracize you, ridicule you, laugh about you, when your foes don't want anything to do with you, honey, I'll tell you, Jesus wants you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is looking for you. Jesus is longing for you. Jesus has a desire for you and he to walk together in fellowship. It's a plea he makes. It's a plea to come to a person. He says, come unto me. He did not say, come to the church. He did not say, come to a religion. He did not say, come to a denomination. He did not say, come to an institution. He did not say, come to an organization. He did not say, come to a spot, come to a location, come to a restaurant, come to an entertainment event, come to a place of recreation. Let's go to a restaurant. He did not say, come for a paycheck. He did not say, come for a handout. He did not say, come with good works or come for food. He said, come unto me. Who is he? He's not a counterfeit. He's not a phony. He didn't say, I want you to come to the Pope. He didn't say, I want you to come to Mary. He didn't say, I want you to come to Buddha. I didn't want you to come to Muhammad. I don't want you to come to Confucius or Confused. I don't want you to come to the pastor. I don't want you to come to a deacon. He says, I want you to come unto me. He always has been. He always will be. He is the God-man. He is the one that the angels adore. And they fly around him saying, holy, holy, holy. Jesus says, Darren, I want you to come unto me. He's the Alpha. He's the beginning. He's the Christ. He's the day star. He's the eternal one. He's the Father. He is God. He is holy. Hallelujah. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, Master, Messiah, the name above all names. He's the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, and the omnipresent one. He is the quickener. He is the redeemer. He is the savior. He is the triumph. He is the unique one. He is the victor. Thank God tonight. He is Yahweh. He's the excellent one. He is the witness. He is the zenith and the zeal of the house. Honey, from A to Z, it's all about Jesus. And he has asked us to come unto him. It's coming to the right person. Who is he inviting to come? Who is he asking to come to him? All that labor, all that are heavy laden. I like that, all. The Greek word is all. It's all inclusive. Those that are weary, those that are worn, those that are working, those that are weak, those that are weighed down, those that are wayward. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going, no matter what's going on in your life right now, he's asking you to come. Those that are laden, those that are burdened with sin, those that sit here tonight and you're battling guilt, those that have cares, anxieties, depressions, oppressions, sorrow, sadness, sickness. Tonight I'm preaching to somebody that's overwhelmed. You know what you need to do? You need to leave being overwhelmed, and you need to exchange anxiety and being overwhelmed for Jesus. Preacher, can I just do that? Well, Lord have mercy. Has anybody ever bought you a coat or maybe a gift and it was broken or it didn't fit or it was the wrong color for your eyes and you needed to take it back? What did you do? You stood in line for an hour to exchange it for something that worked, for something better, for something that was the right color, for something that was not broken. Honey, Jesus says, you bring to me your brokenness. You bring to me your weariness, and I'll exchange it for my strength, my peace, my rest, my favor, my grace, my glory to God, my mercy. That's what he wants us to have tonight, amen. I'm talking to somebody tonight, you're tolling over the evil of our day, over corruption, over sinfulness, over poverty, over disease, over brutality, over violence. Our families are suffering from tiredness of soul, from neglect, from ridicule, from rejection, from the adversity and the hurts of a broken world. Those tonight that are here, you're burdened down with cares. Man, you're loaded down. What on earth are you going to do? You're pressed down by sin. Jesus said, for all that crowd, if you'll come to me and you're in that condition, he says, I will give you rest. He makes to us a pledge. Who makes the pledge? I. Who is I? Four people got it. We practiced last night. Let's do it again. One, two, three. Jesus. Oh, we can do it better than that. You ought to make the windows rattle. One, two, three. Jesus. That's right. Jesus is the one that's speaking. He said, I will. What does will mean? It's certainty. 100%. It's guaranteed. I will give. What does give mean? It's freeness of a gift without cost. Who's he giving the gift to? You. I will give to you. He said, I will give to you. Glory to God. I will give you rest for the weary. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Rest is cease from your labor. It's not a rest that you earn. It's not a rest that's a prize that you endeavor. It's a free gift of salvation. Jesus delivers from sin. He delivers from the guilt of sin. He delivers from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And one day, ultimately, he's going to deliver us from the presence of sin. I'm going to a place that the devil can't get to. Jesus delivers us from the worries of this world. He lifts the load of our sin off of us. I have an illustration. It's a poor one. In the Philippines, a young man was telling me about a man that had one of those rickshaw wagons, and he was pulling it empty, and he came across an old man that had a heavy load upon his shoulders. And the man with the rickshaw stopped, and he turned around and he said, sir, would you like a ride where you can rest from the heavy load? And he said, sure. And the man jumped on board that rickshaw, and the young man picked it up, and he started carrying it. And he went for a while, and he stopped and turned around to check on his passenger. And the man had never set his load down. It was still on his shoulder the entire time. Does that fit you tonight? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you say, yes, I'm going to come to you, Lord. But you never set your load down. You still have it on your shoulders, sitting on your pew. Some of you sitting about like this right now. That's all you can do. I'm telling you, there's a load in your family. There's a load in your business. There's a load that you're carrying out. Man, you're so worried about what's going to happen this week, you can hardly focus on right now. The Lord says, I will give you rest. That is his invitation. Number two, we see the Lord's invocation. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. Having been relieved from the burden of sin, when I got saved that night at Balfour Baptist Church, and as I turned to walk back down that aisle, I was a new man. I was a new creature. In fact, I just want to testify for a minute. I won't call time out. The load lifted off my soul. I was under the weight and the guilt of sin, and when I got saved and Jesus took it all away, honey, I could have floated back to my seat. I remember going home that night. I don't remember a stop sign. I don't remember a red light. We got home. I said, Dad, I want to call Grandma and tell Grandma what happened. And when I called, she's 60 plus miles away. I said, Grandma, I got something to tell you. Guess what, Grandma? She said, you got saved. She stole my thunder. I said, Grandma, it's mine to tell. I said, Grandma, how'd you know? You wasn't there. We didn't have internet. We didn't have Facebook. How'd you know? She said, honey, me and the Lord had church tonight. And he said he's going to save you tonight, to be praying for you tonight. He's going to save you tonight. And he did save me that night. And my load was lifted. Can I get a witness? Has anybody ever come to Jesus and he just lifted the load and now you've got relief? Thank God for it. But then somewhere down the road, the load starts loading back up. And you start getting things back on you again. And he says, take my yoke upon you. So after you've been relieved from the bondage of sin, it's time for a new burden. Preacher, I don't want a burden. It's time for a new yoke. Ooh, preacher, I don't want a yoke. The yoke will take away my freedom. Now that you have come to Christ, it is time to come under Christ. It is time to come under his lordship, under his rulership, under his power, under his authority. I promise you, if you'll take his yoke and you'll put that yoke, what is a yoke? It's a wooden frame, it's a wooden bar that is carved to fit over the shoulder of the ox and to go up underneath his neck, and it would dynamically link him and a wagon together. Now, some of you are going to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And verse 30 says, my yoke is easy. And it makes good preaching to say that you're getting in the yoke with him and he's the strong ox and you're the inexperienced ox. And I've heard that all my life and that makes perfect sense to me. But I don't think that's the picture God wants me to present to you. He wants you as the ox to get under the yoke and he as the master. And he wants to show you how that yoke can be used for you and the master to accomplish the impossible. Preacher, I'm interested in this. Where are you going? See, the ox has got to humble himself. The ox has got to yield himself. The ox has got to come under submission. Let's say it like this. The ox has to come under restraint. I have an illustration. Have any of y'all ever been out in the wind and maybe when you were younger you wanted to fly a kite? Three people. Y'all are not kite flyers down here at Fletcher, are you? Man, we'd go to the beach and we'd like to fly a kite. And we'd take that kite and get that kite up in the air. And that kite, can you just hear it as it says, look how high I am. Everybody on the beach and everybody on the coast and everybody in the valley and everybody on the mountain, look at me. Look how high I am. Look what I'm doing. Zoom, zoom, zoom. And then the kite says, if it weren't for that string, I'm tugging against that string. There's no telling how high I could go. There's no limit to how far I would go if it just weren't for that boy down there holding the string. And finally, the wind breaks the string. And the kite says, I'm free. Down, down, down goes the kite. You see, because the kite could soar because of the restraint of the string. The kite could go to heights it could never accomplish because of the restraint that was in its life. The tree, I hear said, I wish I weren't planted in this place. There's so many other places that I as a tree would like to be. I've been on this property 80 years and I want to be planted somewhere else. If only this ground didn't restrict me. If only I weren't held in this place. So a wind comes along and frees him from his planting and kathud. He falls on the ground and now he's free to die. Restraint of the ground is what caused him to stand. Maybe you're the locomotive on the railroad tracks, steaming down those tracks and railroad, that great hunk of mass of steel says, man, if I weren't so limited by these crazy iron tracks, I'd go out in the meadow and I'd climb up in the mountains if I only could get off these tracks. So somebody derailed him. And off the tracks he went, man. Woo, I'm free, and crash. He's done. He'll no longer ever be a train again because the thing that restricted him was the thing that gave him power. And tonight I'm telling you, you want your freedom and you don't want to be under authority. America is a land that has become so entitled and wants to be so free of authority. But I'm telling you, everything God made, he puts under restriction. And when he does, the restriction causes things to flow. God has some tracks in your life. He's got some plantings in your life. He's got some flying, but you're held by a string. He wants you to. He says, take my yoke upon you. And my yoke, you and I, we're going to accomplish things through the restraint of that yoke that you could have never accomplished before. You could never pull a load as big as this were it not for the yoke that I put you in. Thank God for the yoke. And the Bible says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy. You know, he's a carpenter, amen. He'll make that yoke fit just right. And he says, my burden is light. Thank God. The yoke is a symbol of service. And the yoke is a symbol of submission. Yield your life to Jesus Christ, honey. It'll be the best thing you ever do. It's not time to quit. It's time to serve God. He wants to work in you. He wants to work through you. Take the yoke. Don't be afraid of it. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. The Lord's invitation, the Lord's invocation. Thirdly, and I'm done, in verse number 29, we see the Lord's instruction. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We're seeing verbs here. Verbs, the word come unto me, the word take my yoke upon you, and now learn of me. Those three verbs, the Lord's instruction. He says, I want you to learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What about that? We're to come to Christ. We're to come under Christ And now we're to come after Christ. Jesus is our teacher. Now look up the word learn. It means to direct one's mind, to place one under instruction. It is to receive direction. Jesus prayed, I must pray. Jesus trusted the Father, I must trust the Father. Jesus submitted to the Father's will, I must submit to the Father's will. Jesus did not worry, I must not worry. Jesus sought to forgive, I must forgive. Jesus sought to love, and I must love. I must see as he sees. I must love as he loves. I must care as he cares. I must feel as he feels. To be under his yoke, we're to be together. He's meek. Without his meekness in my life, his yoke galls my shoulders. He's lowly. Without his lowliness, that yoke galls my shoulders. Now, I looked up. The Bible says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I run reference on that. I ran it all over the Bible. This is the only place it's referencing in the New Testament, Jesus' heart. There's much about his hands, much about other, but this is the only place that references his heart. He's meek and lowly in heart. And man, how he loves you tonight. And the Bible says, and you shall find rest for your souls. It is a rest beyond rest. It is to be rid of worries, and it's to be rid of fears. It is to rest amidst the good and the bad in my life. If I can rest in poverty, I could rest in riches. But if you can't rest in riches, you'll not rest in poverty. I can rest in glory, or I can rest in persecution. But if you can't rest in persecution, you'll not rest in glory. I promise you, it works that way. You've got to give him the glory. If you decide, well, I'm going to take the credit. I'm going to take the credit for the message. I'm going to take the credit for the song. I'm going to take the credit. Pat me on the back. Pat. If you do that and you take the credit, that's great. Go ahead. But when the criticism comes, you get that too. But I've learned in life, if I will give him the glory, when the criticism comes, he'll take that too. Amen. Thank God for it. To be rest is the ability to rejoice. To rest is to have the ability to rejoice no matter what. It is peace in the midst of problems. It is leaning. It is to be settled on something. It is to be, listen to this, it is free of feverish anxiety. It is free of restless activity. It is free of constant pressure. It is free of exhausting hassle. Tonight you are hassled and pressured and you are so under the gun, it is not even funny. The most miserable people I know are those who are toiling to find peace. Those that are toiling to have rest in this life. You come to Jesus, take his yoke, learn of him. You exchange your weakness, your weariness for pardon, for peace, and for joy. You watch what he'll do. There was a art gallery, and they had a painting. They were getting ready to have a contest, and they had all these beautiful paintings of mountaintops and meadows. And finally, they unveiled the last portrait. This man had painted this beautiful picture, and it was a mother bird with her little babes in the nest, and lightning striking. You could just feel the wind howling. The thunder was rolling. The skies were just billowing against it. There was a waterfall that was coming down, crashing. The waters were rising. You could tell that there should be fear all around. And the Bible, or the person put down underneath it, peace in the midst of the storm. You see, peace is not having peace. Oh, listen, it's having peace in the middle of problems. It's having peace in the middle of issues. It's having peace no matter what you face. Now, I want you to stand to your feet tonight, because I believe this with all my heart. I believe that there's somebody here under the sound of my voice. Somebody come to the piano. Please play whatever God lays on your heart. But tonight, in your home, there is not an atmosphere of peace. Oh, you're saved. You're fine Christian folk. But I'm telling you, there's an absence of genuine peace about a decision, about a choice, about a test, about a medical issue, about a condition of a family member. I'm telling you, there's a worry about your job. You've got choices to make. You don't know what you're going to do. And tonight, you're so up in the air and you're trying to weigh. You're trying to figure out. I'm telling you, there's burdens. You cut on Fox News, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS. I'm telling you, it's causing your spine to tingle and it's got you upset and bent out of shape. And the price of gas is going up and you're worried. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. God said, I have peace for anyone tonight. Don't be like those in Capernaum that say, I'm not interested in that peace. I don't need that peace. I'm just fine like I am, man. I'm in good shape. Hey, somebody here tonight, and you need to slip out down to this altar and say, Lord, I need peace about something. God, I need you tonight to know I need rest. I need comfort. I need encouragement. I need help. Folks are coming. Come on right now. He's made us a promise, church. He's made us a promise. It's time to move. Will you come to Jesus? Will you take upon you His yoke? Will you learn of Him? Will you look to Him? Will you listen to His leadership? Folks are moving. God bless you. Anybody else, you need to come. Come right now. Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. And we thank you, Father, for the truths of the promise that you have made to us as a faithful friend. The Bible tells us that we can come unto you. And Lord, that means that we're to come unto you in soul. We're to come unto you in heart. God, to bow before you, Lord, to confess to you our weariness and our inability. And Lord, to know that you are able. You can give us rest from the toiling of this life, from the labor that we face, from the anxiety and the pressure. Lord, it's amazing nowadays how nobody wants to admit they have a problem, but everybody's popping a pill when they get to the house. They're on this nerve medicine and that one, Lord, and that's all well and good. But Father, the best thing we'll ever do is bring our sad case to Jesus and lay our burdens down at His feet. Lord, tonight we need you. And Lord, we look to you. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you. And tonight, God, I pray you'd help us, Father, that we would trust you and depend upon you even further. God, help us to see, Lord, the restraints that you have in our life. Therefore, our good. Lord, we need to be under Christ. We need to be under your leadership. We need to be under your authority. Help us now, Lord, I pray, to receive your truth, for it's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen and amen. Amen.